bitch about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Is Don in the booth? He's ready. Okay, here we go. Loosen up, camera two. Cameras one and three, that's fine. In five, four, three, two. Cue lights, one. Music.
Now entering the studio with today's contestants.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
O.M.G. Oh, my God.
All right. Is this Godhead or what?
Squeeze your boobs. You don't need creams or lubes. I will help you if you need it. Drop your top and squeeze your boobs.
Someone sure put a lot of effort into that.
I think poo-poo on that stuff.
And now.
I hope you like these rhymes. I hope you like my flow. I love you in those shorts with that camel toe.
Our feature presentation.
That's a sweet rap right there.
I don't know if I love it.
I'd like to start off today's show with a question, and that is, why did the state of Connecticut not join in Free Donut Day? You guys know?
Kevin.
Thank you for asking, Kevin.
What? Yes?
Kevin. Thank you for asking.
Because last week, right? Free
right.
Donut Day.
Uh-huh.
And just Puerto Rico and Connecticut?
Yes. Thank you for sharing my outrage. Because that's no way to run a country, right?
What's up with that?
Thank you. We did call, just so you'll know, and it is still a mystery because the one Dunkin' Donuts location within the great state of Connecticut that happens to be located inside an Indian casino, by the way, Dave spoke with, and they do celebrate National Donut Day. It is unclear why they are excluded in the official rules of the day. So, again, the mystery deepens. It changes, but it deepens.
But it doesn't.
But it does.
At all.
Why do people say... Why does the official paperwork from Dunkin' Donuts say no free donuts in Connecticut?
Dunkin' Donuts wouldn't do that. They would give them to everyone.
Anyway, thank you for asking, Kevin,
sure.
Because that was a burning point for us last week on the show.
Why would you do that? Why? Why would you do that?
I actually have some old business from last week that I wanted to bring up as well. Everybody has noticed.
Because Dave said, Bean made me call and find out why Connecticut wasn't giving away donuts. All right, back to you.
I hope everybody has noticed that Kevin has now been to work 4 days in a row.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, at this pace, he might make the whole week.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Which is more than any of us ever dreamed of. We never got a chance to congratulate you for the sick note that you sent to us, which was one of the greatest things you've ever done.
The sick note that I sent to you. Email, you mean?
Yes. You worked last Monday, and then you decided, hey, I'm going back to Vegas. I'm going to tell the guys right. I'm sick, so I don't have to work.
Right.
And you sent out a note. In its entirety, it was, I sick, nod coming in.
Yay!
And we laughed.
Yeah.
Thought we'd cry. I sick, nod coming in.
But you got my message.
Oh, we did. Yeah. We got the message. And we debated it, too. We thought, does Kevin know a 3-year-old that he has it on his emails? Was this a Siri problem where it always can't read his voice?
I'll tell you exactly what it was because I remember that when I sent that in, I was shaking like a crazy person. Mm-hmm. And I probably retyped that 3 or 4 times to make sure that I got it right before sending that one.
So I sick.
Yeah.
Nod coming in.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. All right.
I sick. That was true. And I didn't come in.
You nod. So, that's true.
You nod. Yeah. Come in.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. You got your choice today, guys, before we get started on the all new Kevin and Bean show. I have two stories that I love, and I'm going to give you the decision making here. One is we haven't discussed yet the naked tourists who were arrested for starting an earthquake in Malaysia. But then we also haven't discussed the man who had more than 400 kidney stones removed from his body.
Oh, my.
Now, if you've ever had a kidney stone, you know that that is among the most painful things a human can endure.
I haven't, right? But I've heard it's the worst, yeah.
Yeah. The guys say it's the closest they'll ever get to knowing what it's like for the ladies to give birth. It's when that kidney stone is coming out, apparently it's the most painful thing you live through. So you can have 400-plus kidney stones, or you can have naked tourists cause an earthquake.
I'm going naked earthquake.
Okay.
I mean, naked tourists causing earthquake.
All right. You're down, Allie?
Sure.
This has become an international incident, by the way. Four tourists in Malaysia visited the country's highest peak, which is Mount Kinabalu. And I don't know why this is a thing, but it has become a thing in recent years where people like to get naked at these famous sites. They like to take photographs of themselves naked in front of the Eiffel Tower or...
I don't know how that became a thing, but I like it.
I like it too. I especially like it when one of the girls who was arrested is Eleanor Hawkins, who is 24 years old, a British national from Derby. She just couldn't be more adorable. So she and three other tourists up on the top of this mountain decided that they were going to get naked and take a picture and put it up online, which they did. One of the other tourists, by the way, is named Dylan Snell. He is a Dutch tourist. Lindsay and Daniel Peterson are two Canadian siblings. They were also there. It looks like there's a group of about nine of them on the mountaintop. So they all get naked and they take this picture.
Yeah, I don't want to get naked with my brother.
Right?
And take a picture.
Seems
that's odd. That's gross.
Hopefully they stood on opposite ends of the line and didn't look. All right, so nine tourists. It sounds like... that don't know each other, by the way, that all get up there. They go, hey, let's get naked and take a picture.
So you know what you should do is you get naked. That'd be awesome. Come on, everybody. We're all doing it.
Well, they do that, and then they post the photos to their various social media sites, and an earthquake happens almost immediately afterwards, a fairly large earthquake. I don't know. Again, my problem is always not enough details, but I don't know how they tracked these tourists down within the country of Malaysia, but I guess they used whatever information they had on their Facebook pages or whatever to track them down. They were able to find and arrest four of them, and those four are still in jail, by the way. This happened back on May 30th.
For getting naked?
Yes, for getting naked and for angering the mountain, Kevin.
No, they're not really charging them with an earthquake.
They haven't been charged yet, but that is why this is a twofold problem that the Malaysian police and immigration officials have with these tourists. Is one is they got naked in Malaysia, which is illegal to get naked in public, as it is in many places. And two is they angered the mountain because the mountain is a thing. And it is a sacred mountain, and you cannot take it lightly, says the chief minister of the state of Sabah, where the mountain is held. So they have not been charged yet. The earthquake, by the way, was a 6.0. 16 climbers died after the earthquake, by the way. Very serious earthquake. Right. Others are still missing. So maybe the country is just PO'd about that. They're looking for somebody to blame or whatever. You angered the spirits of the mountain. So right now they are in jail, and I think Monday is the day that something is going to happen. Either they're going to be released or charged and held over for trial. But I'm with Kevin, man. If 24-year-old Eleanor Hawkins of Britain wants to get naked and take a photo and put it up on the internet, who are we to stand in the way of that happening?
That should be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Bean, if she was not adorable... mm-hmm. Would that change your mind?
Well, no one wants to see fat or ugly people naked, Allie, obviously.
But is it worth it? I say yes.
Well, we'll see what happens in Malaysia. But I guess that's a good tip as we get into the summer traveling season. If you're planning on going to some countries, maybe keep your clothes on. Or if you're going to get naked, maybe you don't share that with the world until after you get home.
And don't cause earthquakes.
Don't cause earthquakes, exactly.
Two. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMeester, shall we?
Basically, my message is, f*** yourself.
I watched that video in its entirety, and that is awesome.
He's the best. That's I want to box him.
On the program today, we have Pat Robertson answers your questions about God.
Oh, that's great news.
Very exciting.
He does have some excellent advice for people that write in.
We are going to talk sports with Jim Rome. Mm-hmm. A lot going on. NBA Finals are tonight. Stanley Cup Finals last night, tied up at 2-2. So, exciting time in sports. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Eh.
And we've got Dr. Drew on the program as well today. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Showbiz time. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on in the world today?
Well, first of all, I got it going on.
Oh, okay. You have it going on.
I got it going on.
Okay.
If you're down in Orange County, we'd love to have you come out and join us to see Hollywood Babylon live on stage. It's me and Kevin Smith, the writer and director. We are going to go down to Irvine, California this weekend. Folks have been saying, when are you coming to OC? We don't feel like driving to LA to see you. And we go, all right. We'll go down to beautiful Irvine, California. It is Saturday night, 9 p.m. at the Improv at there in Irvine. So if you want to come out and see us, we'd love to have you join us. You can go to improv.com and click on Irvine, and then boom, boom, you see our smiling faces. and just click all over them. Just click all over my face and my neck and
what?
Chest.
What?
Just
no.
click
what
on
What just
me.
Happened?
Oh. Click. I'm saying click me.
No, they're not.
I don't know what you're talking about, but my gut says no.
Rather than mourn his death, I'd like to celebrate a life well lived, the passing of legendary actor Christopher Lee. Died at the age of 93 years old. What a body of work this gentleman leaves behind. In the words of Variety newspaper, Christopher Lee was the actor who made Dracula count.
Made Dracula count?
See?
Kevin doesn't get it.
See?
Kevin doesn't get it. See, the character's name is Count Dracula.
Yeah, I get that.
And what they did there was...
Yeah. Dracula
count. Not only was he Count Dracula in 10 films... He was a legend in British horror. A ton of movies done by a studio called Hammer Films. And he was Frankenstein's monster, and he was Van Helsing. I mean, he played every character you can think of in countless classic horror films in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then his career got a rebirth. He played a legendary James Bond villain in The Man with the Golden Gun. Of course, the Lord of the Rings pictures, Star Wars. The guy was just... one of the greats, and hell of a heavy metal performer, too. You may remember his heavy metal Christmas albums. He had a couple of them.
I don't, but I need to check them out.
You don't remember? We used to play them.
Well, that doesn't mean I remember them.
Come and see me. Awesome stuff. He was a sense of humor and talent and grace. By all counts, just the nicest guy on the planet. Lived a life, and then at 93, lays down and takes the final nap. So,
Chip just pulled up one of those songs.
Is this? Yeah. The little Christmas.
Dr. Carol's pet book scene. Roaring to the Cumberland King. Beats unheard of, thirsty miles. Saints and sinners going wild.
He recorded that in like 91. He did that heavy metal Christmas album. He was just cool and nice and talented. And 93, I mean, I know we all want to live forever, but you really can't ask for much more than that when he was working pretty much right up until the end.
And seemed pretty healthy and
pretty together,
lucid.
Not a bad way to go. Just saying. Made a lot of people happy. So, Christopher Lee. Meanwhile, let's get to something important. Zayn Malik has dyed his hair 3 different colors in the last 5 days.
What?
Yes.
What does this mean?
What's going on? First it was green, then it was white, and now it's purple.
What?
What's happening? What's going on, Zayn? Hey, Zayn! Why isn't he talking back to me?
He's not here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was a news story. That was in the news.
Well, not in the real news.
Heroin?
That was on TMZ.
You think it's heroin, Allie?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing you would guess. Naya Rivera has announced she is writing her memoirs. Finally, the Naya Rivera autobiography we've been waiting to read. Are you effing kidding me? One guy dyes his hair, this bimbo's writing a book, and this matters? Christopher Lee is dead!
Well, I don't think you can bring Christopher Lee back.
Yes, though. I can!
Well, he'll never
I got nobody that I go!
He'll never get to read the Naya Rivera book, though, sadly.
I know. I'll say it for him.
He just missed it. He lived almost a century and still.
Who wants to read the memoirs of a girl who had one role in one show?
I don't know.
Unless she did a lot of boning. I'd like to read about her boning. The book will be called Sorry, Not Sorry.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Nope.
Subtitled, Dreams, Mistakes, and Growing Up.
Can we send that back to the publisher and say new name?
I want to feed Naya Rivera this book page by page. It's the only way I would enjoy this book, I think. What a bunch of dopes.
No! I hate books!
Right? And ABC Family has announced they are adding Dawson Creek and Buffy the Vampire Slayer to its schedule.
I'm listening.
2 good shows.
Why so soon, I wonder, ABC Family? The shows will begin on June the 29th with the pilots of Dawson Creek and Buffy airing on that day back to back. So there you go. ABC still has Pat Robertson on their channel, though, right?
I think so. I think you're
telling me. ABC Family, yeah.
Sorry, ABC. Sorry about that. Sorry. I'm going to go read Naya Rivera's book instead of watching your channel.
I bet Allie could watch all of the Dawson's Creeks and all of the Buffy the Vampire Slayers
good
this week.
In like 2 days.
Allie just told us that to get ready for this season of Hannibal, she hadn't watched any yet. So she binge-watched 27 Hannibals in about a week.
I wouldn't recommend Hannibal.
It's an especially sort of dark show.
Yeah. I feel weird.
But I don't think you need to not recommend it, because I don't think most people have the time to do
that. Yeah, it's fine if you have, you know, 7 days in between episodes to breathe and kind of get out in the world and get the sun on your face. But you're right. 27 in a row in a dark car, that's gonna F you up, man.
The sun is always on her face, Bean. It comes through the windshield.
That's true.
That's true.
Good point.
Must be nice just to have nothing to do but watch television. It's the only thing you have to do.
It's pretty awesome.
That you get the wheels on your house rotated every once in a while. Get your oil changed. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of the creek, as it was known back in the day.
Was it known as the
creek? D-Creek, as we called it. Mr. Joshua Jackson. He is for real. And he is 37 years old today.
There's a guy with a career, by the way.
I love that Josh Jackson.
I do, too.
Very talented. Fringe. He was so good on Fringe.
So good on Fringe.
And The Affair.
Right.
Right.
Is that a double feature with The Holiday? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Showtime.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
he was the star of The Affair. That's right, the Showtime television
Listen,
show.
Bean and She Bean.
No, that was
not
real.
Everyone had show. Coaxial cable just plugged into their brains, okay, and see everything that's on television all the time.
It's on right
Those
after
of us,
Ray Donovan.
Unfortunately, are just filled up with life sometimes outside of a TV screen.
Let's never forget the Mighty Ducks movies as well, by the way.
Who could forget the Mighty
Ducks?
While
we're talking about the great Joshua Jackson.
Nobody rocked a cowboy hat like my boy JJ.
Right.
He's 37 years old today. Who's he? Who's he? A paramour of, married to the lovely, talented actress
Diane Kruger.
That's it. Yeah. Peter Dinklage. He's 46 years old today. Actor Gene Wilder. How great's Gene Wilder? Everything from Blazing Saddles to Young Frankenstein, Willy Wonka, Silver Streak. Other films he was in. 82.
Bonkers.
He's not bonkers.
His eyes are, though.
You know,
his eyes are bonkers.
His eyes aren't bonkers. He just has regular eyes.
Bonkers.
If you said his hair was bonkers, I would give you that.
Too.
But his eyes are fine.
You know who he's thinking of.
He's thinking of Marty Feldman,
yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah. You're thinking of Marty Feldman, aren't you?
I could be.
The guy with the crazy eyes.
I could be. Like
the British guy who played Igor in Young Frankenstein?
It's very possible.
That's who you're
thinking
of.
When you said the guy I was thinking of, I don't recognize his name.
Gene Wilder?
Marty Feldman?
Marty Feldman.
That guy, I don't.
What guy with the crazy bonkers maybe. Eyes? Is that who you're thinking
Bonkers.
Of?
So that's for him?
He's well dead.
Okay.
Has been for some time.
But you know Willy Wonka, though, Kevin. You can picture Willy Wonka, right?
Yeah, that's why. Yes, that's who I was thinking
Gene
of.
Wilder.
His eyes are bonkers.
No.
They're a little bonkers.
No.
How dare you?
Bonkers.
Don't stop. Just stop playing bonkers. It's just not the case. Just play woman. Just play woman. He's a woman. He's a little bit of a woman. Woman. Just play a woman drop. It's the same thing. Not a woman either.
Bonkers.
Remix.
Gene Wilder's 82. Hugh Laurie, my old co-star from House, celebrates his 56th birthday.
And the next
today.
Vice President of the United States, by the way.
Oh, he's so good on Veep these days. And Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
Well-known cannibal, Shia LaBeouf, celebrates his 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got a question for you guys. If Pat Robertson, evangelist and founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network and host of the 700 Club, if he loves the Lord so much, why doesn't he join him?
I can't answer that.
Right? Wouldn't that be the best case scenario for all involved?
Well, after this last story, this story is crazy. That anybody is on TV saying the things that Pat Robertson is saying is insane.
Well, he's got a long history of predicting the end times and the apocalypse and tsunamis and terror attacks and all sorts of stuff. I think most people kind of tune him out, but he is back in the news, as you mentioned, Kevin, because of something that he said that seems so insensitive and so heinous. He answers viewer letters on the TV, and a woman wrote in, and she really, you know, my heart goes out to her and so much sympathy for the loss of her child. Her 3-year-old son had died. So she wrote in and said the classic question, how do I continue to have faith in God when such terrible things happen in the world? And we ask this all the time when we see earthquakes and disease and car crashes, everything like that. How can God allow that to happen? And Pat Robertson had the most unbelievable answer to that woman's question. Now, bear in mind, here's a grieving mother looking for some solace from a man that she believes it will help her interpret the Bible in a way that will make her feel better. Here's what he said to her question.
Now, as far as God's concerned, he knows the end from the beginning, and he sees a little baby. And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler. He could grow up to be Joseph Stalin. He could grow up to be some serial killer. Or he could go up to die of a hideous disease. God sees all that. And for that life to be terminated while he's a baby, he's going to be with God forever in heaven. So that isn't a bad thing. So how could God do that? How could a good God let that happen? Well, the good God is going to take that baby to heaven right now, and that isn't a bad thing.
See, guys, it's not a bad thing that your kid died. Look on the bright side. He could have been Hitler.
Who says that?
Pat Robertson says that, and Pat Robertson joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock right now from the 700 Club. Hi, Mr. Robertson.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're disappointed, Pat.
It's all good news.
There's no good news for that. Doesn't make the lady feel better when you say that her husband or her baby could have grown up to be a mass murderer.
Her husband was probably Hitler too, I'm guessing.
How do you go right to Hitler, Pat?
Well, God sees all.
Yeah, right.
And he knows what you're going to be like.
Right.
And if a baby dies, it's probably because he's Hitler. But that's just logical.
Well, Pat, where were you when Hitler kind of got through?
Stalin? I don't think I was born yet.
Okay. Well, how'd they pass through? How did they become actual Hitler and Stalin?
Sometimes in heaven, there's happy hour.
Oh.
And God likes a good martini.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's true. It's in one of the books of God.
Which one? I have a Bible right here in front of me. I'd like to look that up, Pat, if you could give me the verse and chapter, please.
Hold on a second. What? Okay.
What?
I'm busy.
Something happening?
He's too busy.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it may be the book of Stephen.
Stephen. Okay, yeah. I'm going to check that.
Stevenson.
Pretty sure it's not a book in the Bible.
Look it up.
So Pat, you tend to interpret
He has a martini or two.
Okay, I'm with you.
And sometimes he'll get a bowl of that Chex Mix.
Right.
It's got nuts in it and little pretzels. Yep. And those little things. They're like orange things. They're long and thin, but you don't really know what they are. But they're crunchy and they're just delicious.
So he was too busy eating to...
Hold on. Okay. Let me tell you what the Bible tells us.
Okay. In the book of Stephen.
In the book of Stephen. So God sometimes will have a few cocktails.
Okay.
And start talking sports with his friends.
Uh-huh.
And his back is turned to earth. And so once in a while, a Hitler or someone is born, and he does not catch it. So, this happens.
It sounds like you're just making that up as you
go. That's ridiculous. I have a relationship with God where he tells me these things.
Okay.
And so I know why God does the things he does, and I'm here to tell you.
Do you think, how old are you, Pat, first of all?
I'm 85 years old.
Okay, 85. Is it possible that maybe your skills have diminished to the point where you shouldn't be answering sensitive viewer mail on topics of religion?
No, I think I've lived a long life, and I've had a relationship with God for a long time, and I have the answers, and I have to tell people the truth. It's why I'm here.
Is it possible that you're, I don't know, crazy?
Well, look, they said that about Moses, that he was crazy when he said that he had spoken with God.
Mm-hmm.
They said that about Manson. They said he was crazy.
I think he,
well, he was crazy, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I guess he was.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Very happy to turn on the mics, go on the air, and not have to continue that conversation with being off the air.
I was talking, guys.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of something.
Sorry, that song ended, so we got to move on to whatever's next.
That's awesome.
Good times.
Hey, I do want to congratulate our friend Florence and the Machine. She and her band have the number one album in America this week. First ever number one for them. Well-deserved. Great stuff. And we're giving away tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl between 8 and 9 this morning. It's part of the ticket blowout that we've got going all week long here on the Kevin DeBean Show and at K-Rock throughout the day, so you can get the details at K-Rock.com. Win your Florence tickets between 8 and 9. That's coming up, as well as Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew and Jim Rome on sports. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Any other showbiz news you'd like to cover before I get into it?
Well, no, I was just talking about how we're doing the Florence giveaway. I thought I might make a mention of the success of the new record, because it's really good.
Hey, Ralph, how's the new record by Florence?
Hey, there's a new number one on the Billboard 200 album charts, Kevin.
And who's that?
My showbiz news today, it has, as the first story, Florence and the Machine is a surprise number one in the charts of the Billboard 100 albums.
You weren't even going to do that story, I bet.
What's that right there? What's that say, Allie?
Yeah, he was.
But how could you have known that?
I had no way of knowing.
Well, all I do is I was just promoting the thing on a weekly basis.
Pete was just promoting the thing.
In his defense, he was just promoting the thing.
Tough to argue.
like the Hall of Fame broadcaster I am.
Right. Sad news. Bean is still alive. But Christopher Lee is dead. There's no God, right?
Well, we should check it back in with Pat.
Actor who just had it all. Had the voice, had the look, had the charisma. He could do comedy, drama. Most people know him most recently from the J.R.R. Tolkien films, the Lord of the Rings movies, or Star Wars, where he played Count Dooku.
Sure.
I'm Count Dooku. But also, he was Dracula in many films, did a bunch of horror films. He was in a Bond film, one of the great Bond villains of all time. Scaramanga. The man with the golden gun. The assassin with three nipples. That's right.
Really?
That's the best assassin ever.
He had a superfluous nipple. So, in order for Bond to impersonate him, Q had to give him a special fake nipple that he stuck on his chest.
Is this real?
You've never seen a Bond movie. I'm not talking to you.
Wait, is that real?
That happened.
Hold on. Have you never seen a Bond movie?
Oh, I don't think you were here when we covered that.
Zero Bonds?
Zero Bond movies.
Yeah.
Yet she claims that it's not conscious. It's not on purpose.
Oh,
it's
no.
not like she's actively avoiding them.
Well, no. How can you squeeze in that 28th viewing of the holiday if you watch a Bond movie? Scaramanga, the assassin with three nipples.
It's pretty strong.
How titillated. Said Roger Moore in that film.
No!
He said it!
No!
He meant it! He's here to represent it! I love Man with the Golden Gun. It's one of my favorites. That's the one with the tattoos in it. Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah.
As Scaramanga's sidekick.
Boss! James Bond is coming, boss! We have to get the golden gun and kill him, boss!
And how many nipples did he have?
He just had two.
Just two. Okay.
Two little tiny little ones. Christopher Lee passed away at the age of 93.
You know, usually when you hear about people that old, you have to remind people of when they were famous back in the day. But here's a guy who it seemed like worked up until the last, you know, few months.
Yeah, constantly. And he was a favorite of filmmakers. I mean, guys who grew up watching the Hammer films out of England, all the British horror films that he starred in, who loved him in Man with the Golden Gun. I mean, he just became a favorite of a new crop of directors who wanted to use him in all their sort of big iconic roles because he had such gravitas. He had such he carried with him this body of work that gave him that vibe, especially for villains. I mean, you had the guy who was Dracula, for God's sakes, for all those years. So when you cast him, boom, you automatically got a certain vibe off the guy. He was terrific. Speaking of terrific actors who have passed, Leonard Nimoy is back in the news. His son, Adam, has launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund a documentary about his late father, who passed away in February. The film is to be called For the Love of Spock. It will be narrated by Zachary Quinto. He's already agreed to be on board. And it's going to be the story of not only Leonard Nimoy's relationship with the character of Mr. Spock from Star Trek, but also what he was like as a dad and a husband. The documentary, you can find it on Kickstarter.com. They're looking to raise $600,000 to finance it. I think they only have about 200 right now, about 20 days left in the campaign. So if you're a fan, maybe you want to hop on there and donate a little money and help them make this Spockumentary, if you will.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Do you think that Kevin will be in the documentary? You think they'll include the interview that he did?
Because of Nimoy, of course, was a famous photographer as well. Did an impressive body of work as a visual artist and photographer. And, of course, he made that coffee table book of tasteful, lovely nudes of large-sized women.
Oh, man, are you selling this poorly?
No, I'm not.
Tasteful nudes.
It was tasteful nudes of large-sized women because Nimoy was fascinated with the human form in all its shapes and sizes because he was a man who was inclusive and had an enormous amount of compassion for people. Kevin, not so much. I remember that conversation if it was yesterday.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing, sorry.
I don't even know if I was going to kick your ass. What was that? He's going to come through the phone and throttle you.
I did feel that.
Your smart assery.
But I hate to revisit this topic, Kevin, but you understand it wasn't meant to be pornographic, right?
It wasn't supposed to be hot. It wasn't spank material.
I hate to revisit this topic, but in the meeting when we were discussing having him in, I was like, look, I'm just saying something's going to have to be said if he comes on the show. Gave you a heads up.
Because I cannot tolerate fat people.
No, it's not that.
So they must be punished, and I will make fun of them no matter who we have on the show. Regardless of his talent, I will make fun of fat people. I'm just letting you people know that. I've had two granola bars, and fat people will be shamed. Everybody get on the fat shame bus. It's leaving party town.
What was that?
Mr. Nimoy will be missed, and I hope that that is a part of the documentary.
I would love to see that documentary, so let's get it made. Let's give some money. I gave some money. You should, too. And while we're talking about spank material, Hugh Hefner, legendary creator of the Playboy Empire, he is the subject of, well, one of the subjects of a new book by Holly Madison. You know that name, Holly Madison? No, Kevin, she doesn't make snack cakes. She was one of his longtime girlfriends. She was one of the three. Remember the big three?
Yeah. Was she the one that thought she was going to get married?
Oh, yeah. She was the one who wanted him to marry her the most. It was Holly and Kendra and Chlamydia, I want to say.
I don't think that third one's right.
Holly's the one who ended up with Philadelphia Eagle Hank Basket, right?
Nope. That's Kendra.
That was Kendra.
No,
okay.
Holly is with the EDC guy.
Holly is with the EDC guy. That's right.
Okay. Gotcha.
So she's got a new book, and in the book, she slams Hugh Hefner, calling him a manipulator with no loyalty. To which I would say, listen, Holly Madison, if you agree to move into the mansion with Hugh Hefner and his other girlfriends, and you're in the magazine and you know who he is and how he lives his life, what are you expecting that to be like so much?
Yeah, He made you, too, by the way.
And it's, nobody has ever hidden their lifestyle less than Hugh Hefner. He is literally the open book. You know exactly what you're going to get from this guy. You're going to get an old dude who spends a lot of money to have a lot of hot young girls around him. And he uses his influence and his magazine and his photographs to keep a population of nubile young women swimming in the grotto. No secret there. He's not fooling anybody. How did you get fooled? Oh, I thought it was something else. You're a dope. Call your book I'm a Dope by Holly Madison, not the one who ended up with Hank Basket.
And it was, I mean, that's how it was for 20 years before she was born.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
Yes, exactly. So, come on now. Right?
Come on now indeed.
Thank you. That's what I'd like to say.
That's a good point.
What was that? hey, Saturday night, what are you doing? If you're in the Orange County area, if you're near Irvine, California, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to come hang out with me and Kevin Smith. We're doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv in Irvine.
No.
Brand new theater. First time we've played this giant new theater down there in Irvine, so we want to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com.
Hell no.
Click on Irvine and get more information and get your tickets. But Saturday night at 9 p.m., we're going to be partying.
No, no, and no.
P-A-R-T-Y? Because I want to.
Is it too late to say no?
What comes before part B? Anybody know? Party!
Come to think of it, no.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Wilder's 82 years old today. This is bonkers. Eyes. Hugh Laurie. First he was House. First he crushed it in House. Now he's crushing it in Veep. Is there anything the man can't do?
All with an American accent, too, by the way.
Yeah. Which he says he has an enormously difficult time acting in.
What?
Maintaining the accent and acting.
Nobody makes it seem like they're having less
fun. Nobody makes it seem more effortless than he does. For 56 years old today. Peter Dinklage is 46. Joshua Jackson. He is for real. He is 37 years old. And actor, cannibal, Shia LaBeouf is 29 years old today.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
That's right. Do not go into the woods with him.
That's good advice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Am I going to need to separate you two? Is it going down? Do we have a problem? What's happening
Nothing.
Here?
Everything's fine as long as I have this.
Let me tell you a little story about my man Ralph Garman, who in most ways is pretty normal. He has a red Sharpie, and he bends the, what do you call it?
The clip, maybe?
The little clip. He bends the clip. Now, there are 20 other red Sharpies in the area, but if he can't find that one, he goes on a rampage, and everybody covers up and, you know, assumes the fetal position and, like, hides in the corner because he's going to destroy the world until he finds that Sharpie.
My billy club.
Forgive my ignorance, but why is this Sharpie better than the others just because the clip is bent?
Listen, it is bent in a way at a 90-degree angle that I can twirl it between my fingers, and it has become a soothing gesture for me. It has been sort of like a security blanket, if you will. It makes me happy to have this Sharpie in between my fingers, especially when I do my showbiz report. What happened many years ago was I used to bring a red Sharpie in so I could mark off the stories that I was going to cover in the showbiz beat. And so I started needing to have a red Sharpie. That was part of the ritual. And then when I bent it this way and I started playing with it and enjoying it, it was a soothing practice for me. And so now if I don't have the red Sharpie with the particularly bent clip, it causes a low-grade anxiety in me when I'm doing my show. Just a minor nuisance for me not to have my Sharpie. Then some people take the Sharpie and use it to write stuff and don't put it back, and I can't find it.
So it's a level of comfort before you perform, not unlike a batter who steps out of the batter's box just to bang his bat against the cleats or something. It doesn't make any real difference in his stance, but he just feels better getting back into the box like
Thank
he's
you.
Set and prepared.
Thank
That's
you,
what you're
Bean.
Saying.
You understand. It is a ritual that provides a certain amount of comfort for me and lessens my anxiety to when the mic goes live and I'm out there just spreading the good word.
Now, sometimes one of us will take the marker and write something down, and he loses it and he gets angry. About half the time, he just misplaced it somewhere.
Well, here's what I tell you.
And he comes in and starts screaming at me immediately.
Because Kevin, most of all, is not to be trusted. I have taken upon myself to carry the red Sharpie with me out of the studio when I'm done with the showbiz beat. Now, because now it's on the road. Now it's traveling. Now I've opened it up to a whole world of possibilities, a whole world of dangers that I hadn't otherwise thought of. And I may sometimes absentmindedly put it down on my desk in the other room.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, for example, I dropped it on the floor and I didn't know where it was.
Did you yell at me for both of those?
Yes, because you are culprit number one. You are suspect number one when it comes to the Sharpie, because you'll say, I need to write something today. And you'll take the Sharpie and you'll go in the corner and you write down, and then you'll just lay it down.
But you know what I'll do is back. I'll grab any Sharpie because they're the same.
They're not the same. This certainly is not the same, is it? Is this the same?
No, the little cap is twisted a bit.
Yes, Kevin, exactly.
You couldn't make these like that.
And look.
No way.
I could, but then there would be pale imitations of this then, wouldn't there?
All right, so yesterday Ralph came into the room, and we had hidden it because we're trying to drive him crazy. And Chip was filming, and I don't believe we got the full effect of hiding it from Ralph.
Okay, seriously, this is not funny now.
What?
Give me my back. Give me my
I don't have your shirt.
You absolutely do.
I don't
you're
have
the
your...
worst bluffer. I can't wait to play poker with you because you're the worst. Give me my Sharpie back.
I don't have it.
All right.
Ralph Garman.
Whoever has it, give me my Sharpie as Chip records it. Did you think I didn't think something was up when Chip started recording the conversation?
Your well thought out scheme, Kevin, may have gone awry.
Look, so here's my question.
You're a con man extraordinaire.
I have your Sharpie.
Chips are in my face recording it while he's talking to me.
Well, in your shin.
Yeah.
More than
shin,
your face. Yeah. So here's the topic. In every other way, you're pretty normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not saying Bean, because Bean could list 20 of these.
We don't open up that can of worms.
Right. Ralph is relatively normal, but goes crazy about this stupid Sharpie.
I don't have OCD in any other area of my life. It's not like I have to do anything in any other situation. I have no rituals. I have no good luck charms. I have none of that. But in this particular instance, this means something to me, and I don't know why, but it does.
And that's who we're looking for. You don't really, you're not prone to this kind of stuff, but you have your little security blanket, like Ralph's little Sharpie.
My stapler. My stapler. Where's my stapler? I need my stapler. You took my stapler. I need my stapler back.
And you're crazy about it when it's missing.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I understand that it makes no sense, but it makes me feel better. So I like it, and I want to have it, and I get upset when it's not
there. You need
there.
Your binky?
I need my binky, yes.
What I love, Ralph, is that you have explained many times to us that it just makes you more comfortable, makes you happier, makes you feel like you do a better job. Yet Kevin will not stop torturing you by making sure that none of those things are possible.
That's right.
Well, that's my job.
Kevin's not about the good, let's face it. Kevin more focuses on the bad.
If I find out that you have a weakness for Sharpies, I'm going to exploit that. That's
But what you could do is go, hey, Ralph is happier if he has this Sharpie. Let's make sure his Sharpie is there.
No, right. That's not how it works.
Why don't you get me a Sharpie cozy? So I can just put it here near my paperwork, and it would always be at the ready. Some sort of Sharpie sheath, if you will, where I can just slip it inside a Sharpie holster of some kind.
I don't know that they make Sharpie holsters.
The Sharpie sheath? I'm going to patent that, and then you'll all be sorry.
All right. I don't know what kind of adult security blankets our listeners have, but it will be fascinating to hear. If you're like Ralph, you're otherwise normal, you've got that one thing that you need to have just so, and nobody else can understand why.
And maybe you can't even understand why. Ralph's like, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just became a thing. Over the years, it just became a thing.
Here's the number toll-free. Call the Kevin and Bean Show. Get on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Do we want to take one before the break real quick, or do we need to break and come right back?
That depends on break.
All right. Stephanie, you hold on. Everybody else, 1-800-520-1067. What is your version of Ralph's Red Sharpie? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
I would like to thank listener Tom Mitchell, who directed me to a site, which I didn't know existed.
Great.
But features the Sharpie leash.
There's a Sharpie leash.
Yes, it is a holder with a leash and then has a clip that goes on your belt.
Perfect.
And this way you never lose your Sharpie. I think I'm in love, not only with Tom Mitchell, but with the Sharpie leash.
You never lose your Sharpie or you never have the danger of having sex as well. You can just put that out there all at once.
Oh, Sharpie, you and I will be together forever.
So if you're just joining us, Ralph has developed some sort of a natural attachment to his Sharpie that he uses every day to mark up his paperwork in front of him. And yes. Kevin has been delighting in hiding it, stealing it, ruining Ralph's moment. And we're talking about how weird that is. Like, Ralph is otherwise a fairly normal guy. Doesn't have a lot of hang-ups. Doesn't have a lot of security blankets. But something about this Sharpie just it drives you crazy if you don't have it with you, right?
It has become an extension of myself, especially when I'm doing the showbiz beat. I need to twirl it in my fingers and just have it with me. And it is now part of me.
I'm telling you, he'll come in and just be foaming at the mouth.
Well, don't steal my Sharpie!
And about half the time we didn't. He's just screaming.
Still, you're not to be
What's
trusted.
Going on
You've
with
created
this guy.
A climate of fear.
Wait, you mentioned, real quick, can we just get this out of the way? Because obviously the marker will at some point die.
Right.
You need a new Sharpie.
Oh, you're cruel.
What happened?
You have to talk about it in those terms. Couldn't you be nice? Could you say the Sharpie got up on the roof?
We sent the Sharpie to a farm so he can run.
Yeah, if the Sharpie goes dry, and sometimes they do, I just take the cap off and I just put a new red Sharpie on with the same cap on.
What if, God forbid, the cap breaks?
Well, sometimes the clip does break because I have bent it in an unnatural fashion, and I will just I will retire that Sharpie. In a place of honor, we'll go to a little cup on my desk.
So you do save it, though, for
it's like a Hall of Fame?
Well, it served me well. I'm not going to throw it away.
You did good work,
to be
Marker.
Retired. Yes, it just gets retired.
Okay. All right, let's go to line 3, please. Torrance is where Paul is, and he has something similar to what you've got going on with the Sharpie with an item of his own. Paul, welcome to the Kevin DeBinger. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
And Allie, enjoyed your work for years. Love you. So glad you have a home.
Well, thank you, Paul. Well, it's a car, but thank you. Thank you.
She has a car. Okay. Yeah. What are you normal in every other way, Paul, except for what you're about to tell us?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
All right. What do you got?
But like Ralph, it's a writing implement. Mm. I have a Papermate pen. It's the old style one with two hearts. I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Okay. I had Take high it easy.
School. You've had it since high school?
What?
Roughly how many years is that?
I am 57. I've had this pen for 40-plus years.
Wait. It's a Papermate pen that you can just switch out the ink cartridge so you can literally use the same pen for decades?
That is true.
Wow.
Wow.
That's commitment right there.
But that's what's fascinating to me about Ralph is that there are other Sharpies that are really the same thing. It's the same thing with your pens. What about another Papermate that's sitting right next to the one you've had for decades?
They do not make this pen. They have not made it for a long time.
All right. Well, that's different then.
It's a classic.
And
it's a classic.
I have met other people with the same affliction. They
oh,
have
yeah.
the exact same pen for years, and they love it.
Do you go to MateCon? Do you guys all get together and bring your paper mate pens and just hang out?
I'm not positive you should be the one making fun here,
that's
Ralph Garman.
That's insane. Paper mate. That's insane.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to line four, please. This is Tom in Upland. He's up next on the Kevin DeMeacho. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Allie. How you guys doing?
We are good. You have one of these adult security blankets?
Yeah, I do. It's actually literally a blanket. Ever since I was a kid, I needed a it's got a silk lining. It's different now. You just kind of use whatever material I find, but I need to have a blanket with me when I use the restroom and do number two.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Right. Wait. Time. Time. Jackpot. Give me time. You need to take a blanket into the bathroom with you when you evacuate?
Let me clarify. I used to when I was a kid and a little bit into my teens, but what I've done now in my adulthood is I actually just leave it around the doorknob of the restroom in my home, and I actually have to plan my entire day around that.
What? What about number one?
Not number one, just number two. Number so two. Basically what happens is...
Did you have some really bad number twos when you were a kid?
Yeah, so I basically need a blanket when I party.
Oh. I admire the effort, though. Yeah. Admire the effort.
Yeah, it was a nice try.
All right, let's try line two, please, in
need
New
a blanket
York.
When I party. That's pretty good.
I assume we have a listener who's streaming us this morning named Tom. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Kevin DeMeacho.
What up, Kevin DeMeacho?
What up, Tom?
Are you really in New York right now?
Yes, I live and work in New York. Right.
Wow.
And
thank
I
you.
Listen to you guys every day. I have a my adult safety blanket is my radio. I stream it via my telephone, and I jump around to my favorite shows. And every day, for me, it's 10 a.m. I listen to you guys every single day. Everything stops, and I tune it. I'm at work.
Well, I think that's just good sense.
Right.
I mean,
that's
I don't
not
think
crazy
I don't
at all. Crazy in you're just yeah. a man with discriminating taste. That's
right.
All.
This is going to sound like a weird question, but are you
discriminating?
I was wondering what discriminating was. Are you blind, Tom?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Why would you
ask that?
Because a lot of times people become unnaturally attached to audio if they can't see.
You're not blind, Bean, and no one's more big radio freak than you are.
True. I just thought maybe he was. That's
Tom,
all.
Tom, do you have a limp?
No.
Okay, just to make sure.
Appreciate the call, sir.
Tom, are you blind?
I didn't see.
How's
are you
prostate,
blind coming?
Tom, how's your prostate?
He's gone.
I was just following up on a lead, that's all.
Right. You're the world's worst detective.
There's no lead there.
All right, we got two pillow calls. Kevin, do you like Stephanie or do you like Leslie? Which one should we go through?
We haven't had a lady yet.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's go to Stephanie.
Stephanie in Riverside.
Crazy.
On line one.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning. I'm a huge fan of you guys.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
what's going on with your pillow?
Okay, so my grandma made me a pillow when I was 4 years old, and I cannot sleep with anything else other than that pillow.
All right, so it has sentimental value, but what about, like, when you go on the road, you travel or whatever, do you have to bring it with you?
Oh, yeah. I take it with me all the time, yeah. But my husband washed it, like, a year ago.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Bastard.
It's not the same anymore.
Of course.
No, it doesn't have that stink all over it that she took years to develop.
I know. You lost the 70s.
That layer.
That layer of dead skin cells and sweat and makeup that you just, you put your roller of face around it at the night.
Exactly.
That's so sexy. All right, Stephanie.
You have a husband?
Jim Rome from The Beast, AM 980, joins us in about 20 minutes or so to talk sports, as he does every Thursday morning here on the Kevin DeMeacho Show. Don't forget, next hour between 8 and 9, your tickets to see Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl. It's all coming up at K-Rock.
Sort of impossible to tell what's real and what's not real on the internet these days because...
Thanks, Jimmy Kimmel.
Something becomes popular, then everybody else is like, hey, I should do the same thing. But we had a video in the internet roundup this week, and it's a little boy that wakes up in the hospital after having, is it surgery on his arm?
Yeah, his arm was broken. It's called Walker Breaks His Arm.
Walker Broke His Arm is what it's called. It was just posted on June 4th, so what, a week ago or so? It already has almost 2 million hits, by the way. Here's what it says about little Walker, who's 10. He fell off a rope swing. He broke his arm in two places. The break was too severe to reset his arm while he was awake. They used a combination of ketamine and propofol, commonly used for children. So the video is, it's like David after Dennis. It's a video that they shot of this kid coming out of anesthesia after his surgery in the hospital room. And, Kevin, you pick up the story from there.
Well, I mean, they're videotaping him, and he's out. So he comes to and he says,
"Where am I?
Walker.
Look at my cast!
He's very excited. I have a cast. Look at my cast.
We love it. But be, hey, be careful, buddy.
Lay back, okay?
Lay back.
Look at my cast.
We're getting your blood pressure.
Oh. Did you see my cast?
Yes, Walker, relax cool. so she can get your blood pressure.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. So you're watching this yesterday, Kevin, ahead of the internet roundup. At what point, how far into the video do you start to question whether it's real or not?
Yesterday it was when it went away. That's when I started. When he puts it under a blanket, he's like, where did it go?
Right. His dad or doctor puts a blanket over his cast because he's fidgeting so much because he's so excited about seeing this cast on his arm. And then you think that it's unrealistic that he would then forget that he has an arm and a cast, you mean?
I think so. Let me play a little bit more.
You see it? That's incredible. Wow. I have a cast.
That's a good idea.
Where'd my cast go? Where's my arm?
Okay. All right, look. Right there is where they lost me the first time. Because he saw them put the blanket over his arm.
All right, but let's talk about how loopy you are if you're a little kid and you're coming out of propofol. Allie, you've had experience with anesthesia, right?
I have. Thank you.
What happened to you?
I had a very big surgery, and it was the first and only time I was under. And I don't remember any of this, but apparently I berated the anesthesiologist, who was a friend of my dad's, for making me cross-eyed. I'm like, look at now I'm cross-eyed. And I'm screaming at her. And she's like, it's all going to be fine. You won't be cross-eyed in a little bit. And I yelled at her.
And you don't remember any of that?
Don't remember any. Obviously, I wasn't cross-eyed. I was just...
Well, you're a little cross-eyed. But I mean, what you're saying is you give Walker the benefit of the doubt in that lots of people say crazy things as they're coming out of anesthesia that they may not ordinarily say.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt when I heard it.
Okay.
And then I watched it.
Then you watched it.
All right. Now, what do you think now?
Okay. So wait. You heard it. You heard the audio first without seeing it.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounded fine to you, the audio.
It sounded fine. Okay. And knowing what I did and hearing stories of people that are coming out of anesthesia, like nuns cursing a blue streak. It's crazy what people say.
I
want to
see those videos, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, you do. And then I watched the video and I was like, Walker, you are a horrible actor.
Is he overacting?
Yes.
Because that's kind of the read I got,
yes.
Was it was too good to be true. Now, Dave, the King of Mexico, is in here. He's our producer. He's the one who puts the internet roundup together. And by the way, you can see this video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's up there as part of this week's roundup. Dave, what were your reactions as you saw it?
Listen, I hear what you guys are saying. But one thing is, I mean, first of all, you're giving him too much credit if he's acting.
No, he's a terrible actor.
No.
We're saying he's bad.
No, that's way too much credit. You think he would not be that... You know, I think believable. And two, you know, as a person who's been that loopy
most of your life
on stuff that like ketamine, but you know, sometimes you see things and then they're gone. You know,
right?
Like,
no,
like you could be tricked when you're in that state.
He's talking about the confusion that comes on with any of this.
Of this type of drugs. So the fact that happened. I buy it. Look, if it's fake, it's fake. But I think it's real.
I feel like this kid knew that the other videos existed.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not the kid. This would be his parents knowing that you can make money off YouTube if you get enough hits. And they're like, hey, our kid's got surgery. Let's figure out a way we can make some money on this. So that's what I think is going
now?
On here.
Why now? It's been years since all these videos came out. Like the last one was the girl and her tooth. You know, trying to suck everyone's thingy and stuff like that. But, you know.
What?
What video are you watching? They don't count if they're on Pornhub. You understand,
David? You know what I'm saying? No, it's like, listen, no one's going, oh, hey, you know, this is going to be great. And you guys are giving too much credit to the parents and to the kid.
Okay, why is he in street clothes, which I didn't get? If you're coming out of anesthesia, I don't know what happens when you get your cast put on. Is it a different process after?
I've never been in that
position,
so I don't know.
He is literally in street clothes.
That I don't know.
That blue shirt that he's wearing, you don't think it's a gown?
No, and he's wearing shorts.
Oh, he's wearing shorts too, huh?
Maybe he was. I don't know.
The second time I watched it, I'll tell you where he lost me. He lost me right here.
Where am I? I have a cast!
Because his head, he's sleeping, supposedly.
No, and if you see
Hold
his
on.
Head.
Okay, go ahead. And he immediately, his head pops up. He's not groggy or anything. He just, his head pops up. Where am I? I have a cast.
Okay. Now, Kevin, I may have an answer for you to that. According to the parents, the comments on their YouTube video, they said this was like the 10th time he had woken up and gone through the same realization that he had a cast. So that video, when the video starts, that's not the first time he's coming out of anesthesia. Which may be why he wakes up faster is what I'm saying. He's not the groggiest.
And his head's like it's wavering around. So that is like when you're in that loopy state, that's what your head does.
Who's in that loopy state?
The
more than me.
Oh.
All right. The only other thing that I'll mention that I thought looked suspicious, and I sent this up to the lab and had them break it down frame by frame for me. At about 43 seconds in, I swear you see little Walker start to crack up. To me, he looks like he starts to laugh, and then under the guise of being excited about his cast and kissing his cast like you would kiss your forearm if you were a muscle man, he puts his cast up kind of in front of his face, and it almost looks to me like he's trying to hide the fact that he's laughing about it.
Because he's in on it.
I think, I don't know.
You are a fraud, sir.
Why a fraud?
Because you believe this kid.
I don't know if he is or not. I mean, I really don't know. I would, if I had to guess, if like somebody put a gun in my head, I had to guess, I would say it is fake. But it might not be. It might not be. Kevin, you seem to be 100% it's fake.
100% it's fake.
No chance that this is just real. He's just a crazy kid.
Nope.
Dave, what's your percentage? Where are you?
I'm 80-20.
All right.
80-20.
Which way? 80 real?
80 real, 20 fake. Yeah.
All right. See, Dave still got a little bit of faith in humanity, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem is I don't have faith in humanity.
Yes. Well, you're super, super cynical. You have to admit default position, Kevin, is everything is fake.
I wasn't thinking that going into seeing this. I just this is like all the other ones that I've seen.
Why do you hate him? Why do you hate Walker?
He's kind of a dick. 106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Why don't you guys ever want to hear any of my stories?
I wonder why.
You should ask yourself that,
man. Put my finger on it.
Uh-huh. They can't put the songs on fast enough when I start to tell them a story off the air. I'm starting to get a complex here, you guys.
Crazy.
All right, listen. Jim Rome talks sports coming up right after the top.
Yeah,
of
I do.
First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, a little reminder, Saturday night, if you're down in Orange County, the Irvine Improv will be the place at 9 p.m. for Kevin Smith and I to put Hollywood Babylon back on the boards. We're going to do a little show down there at the Irvine Improv. Me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon. Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com and click on Irvine, and from that point on, you're on your own. But it's pretty
self-explanatory. No.
Come on, lady. What's your problem?
Ooh, no, boo!
She's so mean.
No!
Homer's not coming either? Or Peter
Griffin?
Either of those guys are not coming?
No!
None of the animated Fox characters are going to be there? What about Bob's Burger? Is he going to come by?
Don't have that one.
Oh, okay. Hell no.
That's me, Ralph.
You're not going?
You're not going to your own
show. I have to. I'm contractually obligated.
You're a dick.
The answer is no.
Christopher Lee, one of my favorite character actors. Boy, the guy he was a bon vivant.
Yes, he was.
Right, Kevin?
Oh, my God. There's never been a bigger
British,
bon vivant.
So, Gilligan. He spoke 7 languages, was a spy in World War II, sang, acted, killed people.
Are you making some of this up?
No. Sorry, there was a legendary story where he was on the set, and they said, okay, now here you have to imagine you're stabbing this guy to death. And he said, I don't need to imagine it.
Dude killed a guy. Everybody back up.
Okay. All right.
We're going to let
you. Give Chris some room. It's a closed set today. He, of course, was Dracula, probably the most famous Dracula of the 20th century. Appeared in...
Bela Lugosi. Come on.
It's a good argument to start right now, though, in the show.
I'm just saying.
I think that's a good argument.
Look, Christopher.
I think you're picking a good argument.
No, he was great, and he was a great Dracula. But isn't Bela Lugosi the definitive Dracula of the 20th century? That's
but
all I'm saying.
Christopher Lee played Dracula a lot more times than Bela Lugosi did.
He did.
One of them died in the last 24 hours?
Was Christopher Lee blind?
The hell?
Christopher Lee did a lot less heroin than Bela Lugosi, too. He's got that going for him.
That is true.
Yeah. Also, a memorable Bond villain in the legendary The Man with the Golden Gun, opposite Roger Moore.
What was that character's name?
Scaramanga!
Scaramanga.
Scaramanga!
Not Scaramanga.
I couldn't understand.
You
the first
never
time
saw
either.
The man with the golden gun, have you?
I may have. I wouldn't. I don't remember it though.
I was doing the impression of Hervé Villechaize, who plays Scaramanga's manservant in that film. And he goes, Scaramanga, James Bond is on the island. We have to kill him.
And he had three nipples.
Scaramanga had a superfluous nipple. Yes,
yeah.
He had three nipples.
Yeah, I remember
nipples.
That one. That was.
You
I have
don't
a question.
Remember
yes.
that. You never saw a Bond film in your life.
That is true, Alex.
So in order for Roger Moore to yes. impersonate Scaramanga, to pull off the impression, he had to attach a false nipple to his chest that Q gave him from Q Branch. They had a special secret agent nipple that he adhered to his chest. So they said, how do we know you're really Scaramanga? Here, let me show you. And he opened up his shirt and boop, nip.
Now, was so it, would you consider that was the low point of the James Bond
Not
franchise?
Not at all. Golden Gun was one of the best Roger
no,
Moore
but the,
Bonds.
But the third nipple. I
that
mean,
was cool.
That's chintzing on the special effects a little bit.
Not
right?
at all.
I might need to go back and watch that
that's
one again.
Not a, that's and, not a fountain pen that turns into a laser. I mean, that's a fake nipple.
And that was
that
a
is.
Practical effect, too. That wasn't CGI nip. That was real nip.
Magical.
Yeah, but the man with the golden gun, he put his gun together. He had like a lighter that was the handle, then the fountain pen was the barrel, and he could kill anyone anywhere because he would carry these things with him, and he'd go through like airports and stuff, and be like, right this way, Mr. Scaramanga, and then he would just assemble his golden gun and kill you with one golden bullet. It only took him one shot because that's how good he was.
All right. Did Mr. Scaramanga do the Fandango?
Oh my God! I mean. Even me being, I can't back just, you up on that.
Wow. Is that in a, just a gentle connection to Scaramouche? to the Fandango?
No, no.
From Bohemian Rhapsody? Is that just the most just vague sort of connection? Is that where that came from?
It was meant to be, yes.
Because they both have Scara at the beginning of their
no!
names? You're a bad, bad man.
Thank you, Allie, who publicly shamed me but is secretly laughing.
By the way, Bean, who never laughs, is really cracking up at
no
that.
No one makes Bean laugh harder than Bean. Let's face it.
It's not that I think I'm funny. I enjoy the reaction that I get from you guys.
Yeah.
You know? Fans would know him from later films such as Lord of the Rings and, of course, Star Wars. We played Count Dooku. He was just a great actor and a great guy. Passed away at the age of 93, so... He will be missed. Gwen Stefani's coming back to The Voice this fall, replacing Christina Aguilera, because apparently Christina was such a pleasure to work with, they just couldn't bear it any longer. There was too much
too
joy.
Too much goodness?
Too much joy on the set of The Voice. Like, I can't contain all the happiness. Please, Christina, you're killing us by making us all so happy. Could you go make someone else happy somewhere else? They asked her. And so she is going, and Gwen Stefani's coming back. And I don't know if you watched any of Gwen when she was on The Voice, but just adorable and terrific, and she was just great. So they're lucky to have her back. That's good stuff. Lou Diamond Phillips, you probably best known as still Richie Havens from La Bamba, right?
That's Richie sure. Valens.
Richie Valens,
right? Richie Havens, different guy.
Totally different guy.
Yes. He has signed to play serial killer Richard Ramirez in the movie The Night Stalker.
Ooh.
Ramirez, of course, is convicted of killing 13 people.
Ooh, that's good casting.
The movie about
ooh,
killers.
Ooh, Satanists. Ooh.
No, I shivered down my spine.
13 people? Are you sure there wasn't more? Ooh.
It's good casting. That's all I'm saying.
He never showed any remorse for his murders, an avowed Satanist.
Mm.
He died on death row in 2013 of complications of B-cell lymphoma. Apparently that's where they kept him there in B cell there at the prison. That's where he came down with that lymphoma.
Lou Diamond Phillips was in a great show that I think I'm the only one who he was in Longmire
Wolf Lake.
Most recently, but he was in Wolf Lake, which was such a great show.
It was a good show.
Oh, you watched that too?
I did.
I thought he was excellent in it.
You know, also he's great in Longmire. You've heard me talk about this show before, and you mock me saying
yes,
it doesn't exist. But
I mentioned Longmire 30 seconds ago.
I
yes.
don't listen to you.
Most recently in Longmire.
It's a great show, and I missed that show. But he was the Native American saloon owner there where Longmire operated in
I guess
Wyoming,
our point is,
I think it was, or Montana.
He's best known for a movie from 25 years ago, but he's still a good actor and still doing good work today.
Yes. Yes. I took an acting class from Lou Diamond Phillips once.
You did?
I did. And he was great. He was talented and a good teacher, too.
That's how
He's
you got
the man who invented Booyah.
And he did invent Booyah as well.
That's how you got in Lavalantula.
That's right.
That acting class.
There's a direct line you can draw from Lou Diamond Phillips to Lavalantula. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gene Wilder. Willy Wonka himself, also, of course, from Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, had a lot of good work with Mel Brooks. He is 82 years old today. A lot of people don't know he was married to the girl from Saturday Night Live. Whose name escapes me now. Gilda Radner. They were married.
Yeah.
Great couple. Hugh Laurie is 56 years old today.
Ellie's outraged.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Who doesn't
I have it stitched on a pillow on my couch. Some people don't know it, Allie. Would you pipe down?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Well, everybody knows that. You thought he was Marty Feldman, Kevin. Shut up.
Hugh Laurie's 56. Peter Dinklage is 46. Joshua Jackson. He's 37. And actor Shia LaBeouf turns 29 years old today.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around.
Yeah.
He's almost upon you and you can see there's blood on his face.
Oh, no.
My God, there's blood everywhere.
Oh. Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
He's an interesting little fella.
He's a strange one, isn't he?
He sure is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About once a week, we class up the show by bringing in an actual broadcast professional. His name is Jim Rome. You can hear him nationwide as the host of the Jim Rome Show, including right here in town, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Kevin Bean, the band is back together. You're both here.
It is, Kevin was out sick last week, but he has returned. It is a pleasure to talk to you. There's so much going on in sports right now. We'll get through as much of this as we can. Let's talk about LeBron James to begin with. He's averaging 41 points a game in the NBA Finals, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 1.5 steals, blocking. Have you ever seen a performance like you've seen LeBron James do in the first three games of this series?
Spitting knowledge, you guys. No, honestly, I've never seen a performance quite like that, but then I've never seen a guy like this. I mean, in the NBA, these are the biggest freaks ever in any league, and this guy's the freakiest of all freaks. We are talking about a 270-pound guard, right?
The guy's He's 270 pounds.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's never been a guy like that. Like, imagine Karl Malone, a beast like that, but LeBron's got this crazy athletic ability, and there has never been a guy like that, and he's doing things that he's never done before. It used to be the rap that he's more Magic than Michael, but right now he's Magic and Michael and Bill Russell and Kobe all rolled into one. So to answer the question, I have never seen anything like this from him or anybody else.
I got to tell you, too, being a long-term Laker fan, I learned a long time ago, like, one guy cannot win a championship for you. That's just not true when he comes.
Except when it's LeBron.
When LeBron James comes along and the other stars on the team are, you know, injured, he's carrying that entire team.
Yeah, see, it's another good point. This whole thing about is he the GOAT, the greatest of all time? The ring is always going to be the thing, and he's only got two right now. And even if he gets this one, that makes three. You know, Mike's got six. He's not going to have as many rings as these other guys if he finishes this. But I'm here to tell you, none of them have ever won a ring like this. Magic ran with Kareem. Kobe ran with Shaq. LeBron's running with some undrafted Aussie named Deli and nobody else. The guy's got no help whatsoever. So they're not there yet. But if he were to finish this thing, it would also be a ring unlike any ring I've ever seen.
I'm glad you brought up his name is Matthew Dellavedova, if I remember correctly. I'm glad you brought him up because I don't remember ever hearing or hearing very little about him throughout the season. What has happened to turn him on in the playoffs, Rome?
Well, Kyrie Irving's not playing right now, so he got an opportunity. You know, they didn't need him to do that much during the regular season. But, I mean, you look at this guy. There's nothing significant or above average about him other than his willingness to do everything and anything to beat you. I mean, he's the first guy to hit the floor. He wins every 50-50 ball. He's showing a hell of a lot more toughness and grit than anybody else playing for Golden State. They can't match his toughness. I guess what I'm saying is the guy's really not that athletic, but he's all heart and he's tough and he's nasty, and that's just not a guy you want to play.
All right, last question on this. Many experts picked the Golden State Warriors to win it in six. You think that'll happen?
Doesn't look like it right now, does it? And I was one of those so-called experts to do it. I mean, I'm looking at these guys. Their mojo, their vibe is all wrong. I mean, they're getting punked by a team with half the talent but twice the heart and the toughness. So if they don't come out tonight, if Steph Curry doesn't come out attacking and jacking, and they're going to get a hell of a lot more from their front court, and by a hell of a lot more, I mean anything at all, they're in really big trouble. I mean, I love the Warriors. I picked them. I'm not coming off it. But they've got some issues right now. They do not look good to me.
All right, let's change gears to hockey. Kevin, you had a tweet last night that there was more excitement in Game 4 of this year's Stanley Cup Final than there's been in the last 100 years of Major League Baseball.
I stand by that.
What was it you saw last night that excited you so much?
It's the same with every game, especially in the final. It's just crazy activity and just everything's harried. Everybody's going everywhere. Nobody knows what's going on. It's just it's an insane amount of activity.
Dude, you love this stuff.
I really do.
Kevin's right. Kevin's right. It is. There was more action in the third period. There was more action in the last 5 minutes of that game than there's been in the last 5 years of Major League Baseball. I tweeted the same thing myself, that the NHL postseason is still better than any postseason in any sport. Now, the thing is, I'm on record, guys, taking the Blackhawks. I thought this series would be over by now. I don't know why they're having so much trouble. I keep waiting for their stars to show up, and they're not. I thought it would be a short series, but it's going to be a long series. I just don't know what's with these guys. Tampa Bay is better than I thought. Chicago's not playing as well as I thought they would, and I keep waiting for their stars to show up.
How about the
20-year-old Crawford last night? Good Lord.
Yeah, fantastic. But I was going to say, how about the 20-year-old for the other team that was playing goalie last night?
Yeah, I mean, well, how about that? Andre Vasilevsky, he stepped up. But at the same time, guys, I mean, when you have a 20-year-old and don't get this twisted. He's good. He's really good. But he's a 20-year-old who's on the biggest stage. I expected in Chicago they would come at this guy and hit him with everything they had. I mean, slap shots from all over, shots from the red line. Just put the puck on the kid and see if he panics. And instead they had two shots on goal in the first period. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. What are you doing?
Yeah, why let him? Why let him ease into that game? Hit him hard and hit him fast and hit him early, right? No. Was one of the dumbest things you've ever seen in media, Jim, the report this week that the sports chairman for NBC Sports, Mark Lazarus, says that hockey players should stop growing playoff beards so that they would be more recognizable and we could put them in more commercials?
To answer the question, yes. Yes. Come on, that's a TV man being a TV man. Like he wants Pat Kane and Steve Stamkos to run a razor across their face to get younger viewers and female viewers. What's they could look more like the Jonas Brothers than hockey players? Some shave butter is not going to make John Taves LeBron James. And for these guys, growing a face forest for the playoffs means they're all in. You'll take those beards from their cold, dead chins. I mean, Allie, jump in on this. Jump in on this, Allie. Would it make a difference?
I actually prefer the playoff beard. I think it's hotter than their clean-shaved face. And it separates the men from the boys. I'm not saying Mr. Getzloff, I'm not saying you can't grow a beard, but I think it led to the Ducks' downfall.
If you try to grow one and it comes off like a porn stash or a pube stash, you have less respect, right? Like a Dungeons and Dragons stash.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Although that's pretty prevalent in the NHL.
All right, one more topic, Jim, and I don't think we've discussed Women's World Cup soccer with you yet. Are you for it or against it?
Oh, he's for it.
Kevin and I are huge, huge fans. Tell me about you.
Oh, I love it. I live for it. I was hoping that it would come up. I thought that I was starting to get nervous that it wasn't going to come up and I was going to bring it up myself. It's like the best thing ever.
The U.S. women have won 2 World Cups, Jim.
They have?
They've won 2.
They have?
They're going for a third. They're ranked second in the world.
I thought that when they won the World Cup, it was going to change everything. I thought that we were going to have a female president, and she was going to look across this great land of ours and say, you know, it never even entered my mind that it was a possibility until the ladies won the World Cup.
Didn't happen quite that
quickly. It wasn't overnight. It is slow but steady. But here's the question I have for you.
Can I be straight about this? The men's World Cup is no more important to me than the ladies' World Cup. Let's not make this a gender thing.
Yeah, you're wrong
both. It's just soccer.
Soccer sucks.
That's
right.
Fine. Okay. All right, but I think this is a legitimate topic for sports radio and for our show as well, and that is there are some who are questioning why Hope Solo is allowed to play in goal for the Women's World Cup team with the domestic violence charges against her that have not been dropped. If she were in the NFL, some are suggesting, she would not be allowed to play. Are they just looking past that to keep her on the field? Your thoughts?
I think I can handle that one. The reason that she is still playing, and we saw this against Australia, is because she's one of the best in the world. Now, as good as she is at stopping shots, there might not be anybody who's better at assaulting nephews, half-sisters, and threatening cops. Allegedly.
Right,
but this goes. The charges were dropped, so she should play. The charges might be revisited later on. I have no issue with her playing right now. I'm not saying that she's a good person, but the fact that the charges were dropped, I've got no issue with this.
But if it were the NFL with the spotlight on domestic violence issues right now, there's no way she would be playing, right?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. If she were a dude or if it were in the NFL, it might be different. But, I mean, make no mistake. Folks are awfully good at overlooking off-the-field issues for really talented players, regardless of sport. So I wouldn't assume that either.
Good point. Kevin, you were going to say?
I was going to say her whole family, by the way, is that whole situation seems like a nightmare.
Yeah, they're
like,
hocked up. They're hocked up.
What do you mean? How is that family different than anybody else's family?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, real quick, guys, the rap sheet. Yeah,
the rap sheet, and she's married to former Seahawk Jeremy Stephens, who's always getting in trouble, including earlier this year. Remember when he was drunk driving one of the Women's World Cup soccer vans and got in trouble for that? And she did get suspended for that. I mean, it does seem like they're trailer park a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
A little bit. And or a lot. Let's not forget that rap sheet that's more impressive than her stat sheet. She did taunt and assault her teenage nephew, allegedly. Called him a mama's boy. Dropped the P-bomb on him. Yes. The same nephew who then cracked her with a broomstick. She told an officer, "You're scared of me because you know that if the handcuffs were off, I'd kick your ass." End of quote. Incredible and probably true.
And this necklace I'm wearing costs more than you make in a year, officer.
Love that.
She did say that.
That's my favorite one of all.
But
best goalie. Wait, there's something more important?
Yes, most importantly, the U.S. plays Sweden tomorrow.
They do?
Right?
Oh. They do? I beat Allie first. I said it first. They do?
I love Jim. All right, the Jim Rome Show.
Wait. Guys, yes. Best goalie in the world, worst ant of all time.
Okay, I think we can all agree on that. 9 to noon, AM 980 The Beast. Tune in for 3 full hours of the Jim Rome Show, and don't miss him on Showtime as well. Had a great time as usual, Mr. Rome. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thank you.
You guys are awesome. See ya.
Congratulations to our Florence and the Machine ticket winner, Mark Emmett from Costa Mesa.
Nice.
Chance to win is coming up on the world-famous K-Rock.
Florence and the Machine playing the Hollywood Bowl, by the way. Also giving away tickets all this week on K-Rock to Mumford & Sons at the Forum, of Monsters and Men at the Greek, and Imagine Dragons at the Forum, or Honda Center. Listen for your chance to call in and win. Details at krock.com. Hello?
What's happening?
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, there we go.
Blah, 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 blah.
Roland?
Tickets,
Roland.
Blah, blah, tickets.
Roland.
Blah, go to the show, blah, blah, tickets, live show, blah.
What are you doing?
I'm being furious.
Why are you furious?
Because you people never talk about anything that's important.
All right. Now, before
I'm not even sure why I listen to the show anymore. I may boycott.
That's a great question, and I think you should. I was thinking about you this morning, Roland. How can you possibly complain when we have spent so much time memorializing, eulogizing the great Christopher Lee, who I'm sure you were a fan of because of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and everything? We talked about him a lot today. We did not miss the big sci-fi story of the day.
Yes. But I have heard no mention of The Punisher!
We talked about that yesterday!
Oh, John Bernthal's going to play The Punisher. Blah, blah, blah. Next. No! One of the great characters in all of comicdom, and you people just pass on it like it's just another TV show casting.
First of all, what do you mean by you people? And second of all, why should we care so much about The Punisher?
Oh, my sweet Lord in heaven. Frank Castiglione?
If you say so.
Frank Castle.
Right.
Yep.
United States Marine Corps.
Okay.
Force Reconnaissance.
Okay.
Wife and two children killed by mobsters.
Right.
And so it begins.
Right. I'm not saying it's just a comic book. I'm saying, what are we supposed to do with that information?
We're supposed to share with the world all things that are The Punisher.
Okay.
I mean, I saw one movie.
Oh!
Is that enough?
No! Which one did you see? Dolph Lundgren? Dolph Lundgren is The Punisher?
Honestly, I don't remember.
You son of a bitch.
But, I mean, hasn't Kevin done more to support The Punisher than most of us have?
Okay. Let's start with Amazing Spider-Man number 129, February 1974.
All right. I don't know what that has to do
first
with.
First appearance of The Punisher.
Okay.
And he was partnered up with the Jackal. Trying to kill Spider-Man for Norman Osborn's murder, who wasn't even murdered. Hello?
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Look, I'm glad he's had a long history in the comic books. I think it's going to be fine to have him on the Daredevil show on Netflix. I think that's all good. But what are we supposed to say? We can't see it until next year. What are we supposed to say today about it?
You're supposed to say, remember the Secret Wars storyline where the Punisher crashed into the Kingpin's viewing party? Fight was going on between Earth 616 and Earth 1610?
Right.
Wait, we're supposed to say that?
Yes!
And then they won the 6-6-1-0-1, right?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh. Did they or did they not win the 6?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold up.
Oh, my
Lord.
Is
there a love connection happening right now, Roland?
Do you have a date for the Comic-Con? I can bring a corsage.
That sounds lovely.
To Comic-Con?
Yes. I'd be happy to pick her up in my mother's station wagon and be her escort to Comic-Con.
To step up in houses. You should think about that.
Yeah, a lot more room in the station wagon, Allie.
Spidey needs to shoot some webs, if you know what I'm saying.
Unfortunately, we do, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of the Punisher, that's the nickname I have for my penis.
Okay, Roland.
We gotta go. Thanks for talking to us.
I don't know that we need that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us at 9 o'clock this morning for his weekly visit here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Do As I Say, Not As I Do, so we'll be talking to Dr. Drew. First, though, who wants to play a little Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah. Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
Not sure a lot of those clips needed to be included, but let's let Allie McKay decide between the two Bean Makes Us Guess topics, because they are two of her favorite things in the world that she can choose between, okay?
The Christmas movies and Maine?
Boston. Whatever. Yes, bears is the category.
No, bears.
These are the two, Allie. You have to choose between which one you most would like to do today at Bean Makes Us Guess.
Okay.
Either the top-selling NFL jerseys in America today. All right. The 10 top-selling NFL jerseys in America today.
Okay.
Or, and this is a crowdsource list, the greatest rappers of the 80s. The greatest 80s rappers, solo and groups, who are the most favorite according to Ranker.com. So you got your choice. You got NFL versus 80s rap, two things you love the best. Which one do you want to play today?
This is a Sophie's choice.
Well, tough, yeah, man. And I'm looking at Kevin. He's like, please.
Let's do NFL.
Yeah, we'll do NFL, Kevin.
You're doing that for Kevin? Is it because Kevin wouldn't be good at playing in the rap
game? You know what? Ralph wouldn't be good at playing the rap game either, by the way.
Let's go NFL.
All right.
You and Allie can have that game separately off the air.
Top 10 best-selling NFL jerseys effective this morning on NFL.com. This is an actual running, ongoing list of the best-selling jerseys. Of course, we are in the off-season, but there's been a lot of excitement, what with the draft and everything like that, and people starting to get excited. The teams are, you know, doing their camps right now.
OTAs.
Right. Yeah. Which stands for something team activity?
Off-season training activities.
There you go. All right. So, Kevin, I believe historically you go first. You get a point for getting one in the top 10, and we'll just see how much time we have and who can get the most points on the board.
I would say Carson Palmer from the Arizona Cardinals.
Would you really? Because I bought you one once, so you thought that was contributing to sales.
Let's hear what.
All right.
Let's hear if it is. Top 10.
I just assumed that was a comedy guess, but no. Carson Palmer, I'm sorry, did not make the list this year. Ralph Garman, please.
He hate me.
Wait, that's from the 80s, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think it's still selling well, though.
Wow.
He hate me not selling well?
I'm sorry. He may be on the list outside of the top 25. I only have the top 25 in front of me, but no, he hate me.
All right.
Ali McKay, you're up first.
I am going to say still Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, unfortunately, is. Yes, he is number. Are you guys surprised to hear he is number 3?
No, I'm not.
On the list of the top 10 jerseys. Number 3. All right, you are on the. Somebody keep track of the points here. You have one.
All right, time to get serious now, Kevin, because she's playing for real. So
I didn't realize we were playing for real.
I didn't either. I thought we were having fun. I didn't know there was money involved.
All right, this is not one that I would buy.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
I think you and I are both not going to have anyone in the top 10 that we would buy, Kevin.
Tony Romo.
Ooh,
yeah. I'm going to say Tony Romo is not in the top. Oh, so, excuse me. He's number 23. So not in the top 10. He is on the list at number 23.
They're America's team.
But
I thought.
Nice. That was a reasonable guess.
Thanks, Bean.
You're a good boy, Kevin. I would say Peyton Manning.
Let me see. Peyton Manning is number 10. Ralph is on the board. Well done, sir.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Aaron Rodgers is number 9. Yeah, excellent guess. All right. Nine.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, I'm sorry, Kevin, is not in the top 10. He's number 18, though. Number 18.
Wow, neckbeard, suck it.
I've got 0.
By the way, as of right now, the Indianapolis Colts are favored to win the AFC.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Ralph?
Let me think. Russell Wilson.
Number 4 on the list. Another good guess. All right. So we have number 3, Tom Brady. Number 4, Russell Wilson. We have number 9, Aaron Rodgers. Number 10, Peyton Manning. We have 4 out of the top 10.
All right, let's stick in Seattle and say Marshawn Lynch.
I'm sorry, no. Marshawn Lynch is number 13.
Wow. All right.
Close, though.
Tim Tebow.
Oh!
What a great guess. Timothy is number 15 on the list. There are people going out today.
I would buy a Tim Tebow
jersey.
And it's an Eagles jersey.
By the way, you guys aren't coming close. I'm trying to figure out how to give you a hint. Number one and number two are related.
Related.
Yes. I will say no more for right now, but you guys need to be thinking a little differently than how you're thinking to get those top two.
Is it in history? Like, is it players that aren't playing now?
Are these current, or are they?
They are all sales.
Yeah, this is current sales, and I believe they are all current players.
Okay. Current players. One and two are related. Interesting clue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It means nothing to me.
Related. I believe it is your turn, Ralph.
I know it is.
You mean related like on the same team or related like a family?
Neither of those.
Neither of those.
They're in the same category of players.
Hmm. Oh, so running back, defender, whatever.
Something like that.
Okay.
This is hard because now he's gone and I wouldn't know when these sales figures were initially accumulated, but I would say DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray, Ralph, is an outstanding guess. Just outside the top 10 at number 11. Very impressive, sir. Running out of time. We got to let's zip around maybe two more times. What you got?
Big Ben.
I'm sorry, no. Not in the top 25, kid.
Wow.
Not even in the top 25.
Well, here's the thing.
You allegedly
he's been playing for 40 years in Pittsburgh. If you've bought your Roethlisberger jersey, you're probably not buying a new one. You
know that's true.
In terms of sales.
So is it all players that are moving?
Younger, I would think, newer.
Let me throw out some others just to get them off the list of people who are outside of the top 10. J.J. Watt is number 12, for instance.
That's a good one.
Cam Chancellor from the Seahawks, number 19. Chip, your boy Sa from the Dolphins, is number 22.
Ugh.
Melvin Gordon, number 24. How's that for a hint?
I don't get anything off of that hint.
What was the hint?
Melvin Gordon?
Melvin Gordon is number 24.
That's a hint?
That is a hint.
Hmm.
All right, one more round.
Okay. Who goes now? Kevin?
I think Allie's next.
Allie?
Can I say
no,
Gronkowski?
No, she said Big Ben Roethlisberger already.
All right, Kevin is next. Turn.
Mark Sanchez.
I'm sorry, no.
But fumble.
Darrell Revis.
No, I am sorry.
Is it a defender?
All right, we're out of time. Let me just tell you what's going on. Number 10, Peyton Manning. Number 9, Aaron Rodgers. Number 8, Dez Bryant. Number 7, Colin Kaepernick, by the way. Number 6, Allie McKay.
Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski.
That's what he said, and then I said Gronkowski.
What?
And you
when
said,
did you say that?
When you said, she just said Big Ben, and I said, can I say Gronkowski? And you all skipped over me.
Well, because you had already picked.
Because you had already guessed, hadn't you?
Number
did
five
I still
was.
Say it regardless.
Number
none
five
of us heard it.
No,
is
I know
Odell,
that.
Odell Beckham.
Let's listen to the tape.
Odell Beckham.
Number 5. 4, Russell Wilson. 3, Tom Brady. And the Melvin Gordon hint that I was trying to direct
Harold
you guys
Melvin
to
in the Blue Notes.
Are new players drafted this year to the upcoming NFL season. Number 2 is Jameis Winston on the list. And the number 1 best-selling jersey on NFL.com.
Matt Leinart.
Is Johnny Marcus Manziel. Mariota.
Oh, Mariota.
Marcus Mariota is number 1 on the list. So there you go. There's your top 10, kids. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Hey, look, it's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Christopher Lee, one of the greats, no longer with us. The actor, of course, played Count Dracula innumerable times, did a ton of work in horror movies from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, then made a big impression as one of the legendary Bond villains in the James Bond film franchise with The Man with the Golden Gun. He was that man. He was also the man with the third nipple. Scaramanga.
It sounds like that's the one Bond movie that Allie has to watch now, right?
I'll tell you, of all the...
Do you need time to swallow?
Nope, I'm good. I'm storing it up in my cheek. Like a chipmunk.
He had a mouthful when he came in.
Well, it's breakfast, and I'm running around. You just got to grab it when you can, man. I think of all the Roger Moore films, that's one of the better ones, actually. If you're going to watch a Roger Moore Bond film, I think.
If you're going to pick one, though, of all time, it has to be one of the recent ones, right?
If we're going to make her watch one James Bond movie?
Yeah.
No, I'd make her watch Goldfinger. Because that would hook her, and then she'd watch all the others. Because I think Goldfinger is still sort of the template. That's the quintessential James Bond movie.
What weird thing did they have? Like, triple nipple?
In Goldfinger?
Yeah.
A young lady gets murdered by being completely covered in gold paint, so her skin suffocates and she dies. Boom! That happens.
Yeah, I've been watching Hannibal. That's like an appetizer.
All right. How about a giant Korean dude throws a steel-lined bowler and cuts your head off?
Anyone impaled on antlers?
There's a laser beam. It's going to cut James Bond's balls in half.
A social worker was buried inside of a horse, just sewn right in.
Here's what I'm thinking. Maybe Hannibal is not the show to binge watch.
Yeah, it's right.
She's all full of it.
She's damaged.
Yeah. Like she went into the scenario. Yeah. Fine. Hmm. He also, of course, was in Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, just a great talent. At the age of 93, he has passed away. So,
do you have movies on demand in your car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yes. She has Carflix. Different kind of subscription service. Congratulations to Florence plus the Machine. They are at the top of the Billboard 200 albums chart.
Yay!
How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful sold 137,000 total units for the first week of its debut. And that made it number one. How great were they at Weenie Roast?
Fantastic. Well-deserved number one, too.
And she was hobbled. Mm-hmm. Bean stepped on her foot or something.
I didn't step on her foot at all.
Yeah, your big hoof stepped on her foot, and then she was hobbled. She had to sit on a stool.
But she still brought it.
She destroyed it. She
Remember
was amazing.
This song?
I don't believe that. I don't think that. But I don't think. I think
it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a great album. You should check it out if you don't have it, but it's good stuff. Leonard Nimoy's son Adam has launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund a documentary about his late father who died this past February. The film is going to be called For the Love of Spock. It will be narrated by Zachary Quinto, Leonard's good friend and also who took over the mantle of Spock in the current crop of Star Trek films. He's already agreed to narrate the film, and they're looking for $600,000 to finance the Spockumentary.
To not like it would make them dickheads.
Right, Leonard.
That's a good point.
You can go over to Kickstarter.com and just punch in Spock, and they'll give you the page if you want to add some money to their coffers.
What was that?
And speaking of films trying to be made, this is something I'm definitely on board for. An adult video company has announced they're going to make the first porn movie in space.
Those kids are ready at all times.
They really just sit around
yell and
to
applaud.
Be
They're very excited about every story.
Pornhub Vice President Corey Price is using Indiegogo to raise $3.4 million for the filming and transportation of his cast and crew into space to bone.
Now, I was thinking about this. Yesterday. My question is, why?
Why?
Right.
Because it's boning in space.
Right, but how is that? What's the payoff?
Go to the moon? Why walk around on the moon? Because we can.
No, but I mean,
we choose to do these and the other things, not because they're easy, but because they are hard.
Right. Which may be the name of this movie, by the way.
I am hard, too, as I talk about it.
But my question is, what's in it for me, the viewer, if they shoot that porn in space? Isn't it going to look
floaty
just
sex?
Really? You think that's what's going to happen?
Ooh, you think that's let me about space. Do I know anything about space? Is there any gravity
about
in space?
Do you think that's going to happen?
You know what happens when you go to space? You float around!
That's the only thing I know about going into space.
So you think the video will be...
Do you think that will happen? Or do you think the laws of gravity will change between now and then?
So you think that'll be cool and kind of worth it and worth doing and worth checking out?
You know what? Just stay out of it. Just stay out of it.
No, I'm just asking.
Not for you. Not for you. Just stay out of it. We don't need your opinion. We don't need you to watch it. Just let the rest of us have a good time, will you?
All right. Here's my point. My point is, if they go to the top of Mount Everest to shoot a porn, it still is just going to look like a porn that was shot 1,000 miles from there or 10,000 miles there. It's all about the same.
Do you float in air on the top of Mount Everest?
No.
Do you see fluids flying through the air that are be able to be captured in unique ways?
Is that necessary?
On Mount Everest? It's necessary. And Mike, if I'm giving $3.4 million to this crew, yes. I want to see him catch like M&M's out of the air. I want people going, I'm just capturing just droplets.
Yes, understood.
I don't think you understand me.
We all understand.
I want a Pac-Man scene.
All right, so we're hoping it happens. Then. Okay.
You're out. You are not allowed to watch.
I'm in.
You don't get to watch. You get nothing, sir.
I'm in. I was just questioning whether
you're
it needed to be
busy lifting drinks. You get nothing.
Birthday.
The money for this dealio, $3.4 million, will go towards a 6-month training course for the crew and performers. And the movie will feature stars Johnny Sins and Eva Lovia. That's the plan. So I'm in and I'm donating. Poor Spock's getting $600,000 for his documentary, and they're raising $3.4 million for space porn.
Let's get somebody on.
No,
you don't get
to play anymore.
And let's chat about it.
I'd like to know the training.
So would I.
Right?
See, we got questions. Dave, make it happen.
Girl getting tang all over her face. That's what they drink in space.
That's true.
You don't know. Hey, you want to hear more filthy things come out of my mouth? Saturday night at the Improv in Irvine, California. Saturday night at 9 p.m. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love you to join us. We really would. We're going to we're going to clasp hands and sing Kumbaya at some point during the event.
No.
Do you have to do that?
That probably won't happen. But I'll be drunk loaded in the bar afterwards. You can come and hang out with me. Once again, go to improv.com, click on Irvine, and that's where you'll find us. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gene Wilder. Speaking of fizzy lifting drinks, he's 82 years old today. Hugh Laurie's 56. Peter Dinklage. And an unfortunate name for a little person. Isn't it Dinklage? Dinklage sounds like a little person. He should be Peter Hugely. That would be better than Peter Dinklage. You see him coming a mile away with a name like Peter Dinklage. Joshua Jackson. There's no spirit in that whatsoever. You know what?
Because it's a 25-year-old outcast joke.
Do or don't do.
There's no try.
Thank you, Bean.
He is 37 years old, and actor Shia LaBeouf is 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew On Call airs Monday through Thursday night on HLN. Of course, Dr. Drew co-hosts along with Mike Catherwood right here on KROQ, a little show called Love Line, and he joins us every week about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc. How you doing, man?
And here I am again.
Appreciate so much you having taking the time to come on the program. Let's talk about McKinney, Texas. I know it has been a topic of discussion on your show all week long. For folks who maybe are new to the controversy of this latest video of police versus people, basically what's going on in it, Doc?
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys have not been covering this because it's been sort of rocking the talk airways quite a bit. And everyone must have seen this video of a so-called pool party in a suburb outside of Dallas, a place called McKinney, Texas, that Wikipedia says is the best place in America to live. One of the best places. Alluring indeed. Apparently, a group of young people sort of crashed a pool party and started climbing over the fence and got in some sort of a fight with some of the neighbors there that were having this party. Police were summoned. There were multiple 911 calls. And this one guy showed up, apparently after having had been to a suicide call and then a near suicide call. So it's really debatable whether he should have shown up at a 911 situation. But he showed up. He was quite agitated from all that. If you see the footage, the first thing he does, he jumps out of his car and does a barrel roll, Bill Shatner, jumping onto a...
It looks fake.
Ladies and gentlemen, a T.J. Hooker reference from Dr. Drew. Well done.
It really did look like that. It really did look fake. And he jumped up. Now he's embarrassed and agitated and starts chasing young people around, saying, you sit here, you stand here. And, of course, none of these young kids are obeying him. And he grabs a bikini-clad 14-year-old and just takes her down. And she's screaming for her mother while the other ones stand around. Couple of the sort of seeming like older, bigger males come up on him, kind of with their hands behind them. If somebody would come up to somebody to look at in their agitated state, this cop thinks that they must have a gun, so pulls his gun on them. And now we've got, a 14-year-old, 93-pound girl in a bikini getting manhandled, her face pushed to the cement, and he's holding a gun at other 17-year-olds. Meanwhile, other police are chasing the rest of the crowd around. It became quite chaotic. But people are taking issue with the cop's behavior. And, of course, once again, all the youths were African American, so it made for a really unpleasant situation.
All right, now you just dropped a lot of information on us, and let's go through some of it a little bit step by step. I want to first address, look, police. I'm not excusing this police officer behavior, but we do have to keep in mind, Dr. Drew, and I think you point this out on your show from time to time. Police officers are only human. That's all we have to choose from to enforce the law are human beings who have emotions. Okay.
Yep.
And as you pointed out, this is his third call of the day. The first call, somebody had shot himself in the head and died at another pool party. The second call was a kid who was up on a roof who was threatening to jump that he had to help talk down. So yep. Imagine the emotional, agitated state he's in before he even got to this call. He must have been driving over to that location with these kids and thinking, what fresh hell is this? Like, what is going on today? He must have felt like the world was spinning out of control, right?
I completely agree with you. And I agree with virtually everything you said, including, we got to support the police. They're only human. There's so much they can tolerate. But maybe there should be some policies in place about that where they don't have to engage in superhuman activities where it's just emotionally impossible to contain yourself. I don't think I could have done that. Could you? I could have done
no,
it.
No, I don't
would,
think I could
I wouldn't want to be a policeman. My God, what they're dealing with. And now what they're dealing with, being scrutinized so much, it's extremely I look at Baltimore. They're backing off now, and guess what? Crimes, violent crimes go up. I mean, what's there to inspire a cop to get out of the car and do his job if all that's going to happen is he's going to get scrutinized? And frankly, this guy ended up quitting.
He resigned. He resigned his post. Yeah. He was a corporal in the police department in McKinney, Texas, so he has resigned, but the investigation does continue into his activities. And look, it's easy to look at that video knowing that those kids didn't have a gun, but if you're a person and you've got a group of, it looked like at one point, maybe 15 people around you in close proximity, it's kind of hard to gauge and see what the threat level is in an instant, right?
Agreed, and you've had three or four 901 calls. You know, you don't know exactly what you're running into, and it's a mess. And I understand that, but Bean, you're taking a position. This is what's really interesting about the story, and this is why I wanted to talk about it, is that the position you're taking is a position that a lot of people are taking, which is, these guys have a tough job. We've got to support them. And what are they supposed to do? It's understandable. Versus the African-American community who are saying, and not just African-American, people of other ethnicities, too, that feel they've been unduly singled out by police, which is we're frustrated. We've been manhandled. You're finally seeing it now that everybody has a phone. Bean, if I had described that scene to you without the phone, if somebody has described it to me, I would have thought they were overstating it. I would have said, nah, probably didn't happen like that. Too much. But we have the phone. We're watching the footage. There's videos everywhere now. And the other point of view is you're naive, you're Pollyannish, you haven't had to deal with this, and finally you're seeing it. Please don't look away from it. Don't ignore it.
And I completely respect and agree that point of view, too. And that brings me to my next question for you, Dr. Drew, is because
– You're going to put me in a bad position.
No, I'm not at all.
That's his goal every time, you know.
No news story happens in a vacuum. And we have to look at McKinney, Texas, in the context of what we've looked at since Trayvon Martin and since the incident in New York and other places around the country where we have seen black victims, white police officers. We have no way of knowing at this point in the investigation, or at least it hasn't been revealed to us, whether race was in any way a factor, but that's the narrative that has automatically come out, and a lot of people are assuming because the officer was white and the majority of these people at this pool party were black that somehow race was a motivation, but we just don't know, and I think that it's a dangerous path to go down for all of us to assume that it was, don't you?
Oh, 100%. So let me give you my interpretation, and this may be unpopular, but as a clinician, I've got to say something from my discipline, from my perspective of what's causing all this, why the massive difference looking at the same phenomenon and seeing it completely differently. So I was talking to a guy in KBC yesterday, a young man who was taking this position, and his girlfriend was very reasonable. In the background, I heard him saying, tens of thousands of young black men are lying dead because of the hands of cops. And I thought, in the last year, he insisted. And I thought, wow, no wonder you see it this. You actually believe that. There haven't been tens of thousands of murders. There haven't been hundreds of people, anybody killed by police. Your perception is that tens of thousands of young people are being killed by cops? Mm-hmm. No wonder you're so agitated. So, A, let's get the facts right. So, B, where did that come from? What is that? Well, I've been talking to a lot of my black friends lately, and what I keep hearing is the same theme, which is you don't understand my grandmother, my mother, they were the ones that had to deal with this. It's in my house. I've been hearing it since I was a kid. It's still present in mind. So what I'm hearing is what we call intergenerational transmission of trauma. The trauma of 50 years ago is still raining down on our young people in terms of stories and emotions about what was experienced long ago. And it becomes morphed into a worldview, a perspective of this is how it is. And then when police confirm that, and by the way, it seems like since Zimmerman, something has happened. This whole thing has kind of rolled downhill. But that perception is top of mind, and I think we have to get very honest about looking at that and how young people are being, I wouldn't even say educated, but affected by that historical past.
I think that's a really interesting point, Dr. Drew, and I think you're right that we are smart to keep that in mind whenever we hear comments about stories like this.
We got to talk. It's our history, and we're still living with it.
You could actually see people who were on the scene with differing point of views saying, absolutely it was racist, absolutely it wasn't, and you just go, I don't know who to trust here.
I think when the day is done, I think it's important we're talking, and let's not shrink from it.
But our takeaway, Dr. Drew, as we say goodbye and thank you for your time, is kill Whitey, right?
Of course.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Well, all morning long, we've been talking about the passing of a legend, Christopher Lee. I don't think the death tube is appropriate.
It's not good.
I think Pac-Man is.
It's never appropriate. He plays that for every person that dies, including if it were his parents. Bean has no heart.
93-year-old Death legend tuba. Christopher Lee played Dracula famously in 10 different films. He was a staple of the Hammer films from the British Horror Factory of the same name from 1957 throughout the 60s and 70s. And then he lost his taste for blood and horror movies and decided to branch out. Luckily for him, he was in big demand. People started using him for other films like James Bond's The Man with the Golden Gun, and of course, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Count Dooku in that franchise. He was a classic and an accomplished singer, performer. Knew 7 languages, a genius, a smart, well-educated man. Had a lot going for him. Classy dude. 93 years old, passed away. Why you gotta be like that, man? Zayn Malik has dyed his hair 3 different colors this week. What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Someone get someone on the phone. This is news, apparently.
Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself.
Let's talk to
that guy. It is One Direction.
Zayn went green on Saturday. Then he went white for a brief period, and now purple. We don't know what's going on.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right?
I hope he's okay.
I do, too. Let's check in with him and see if he's okay.
Do you think it has something to do with the tumultuous way his life is going? Is he expressing himself? Through hair color? Are we supposed to read the drama of the emotion?
Are you looking for more information about this story?
Well, I'm just...
It was supposed to be just funny in juxtaposition to a classic, a legend like Christopher Lee, to this is what we have for celebrities these days, is Zayn Malik dyeing his hair. It was counterpoint.
We're in One Direction! What do you guys put in your hair?
That's a good question,
Bean. We don't care, Bean. We don't care.
Okay.
Bean cares about everything.
Too much. Congratulations to Sarah Jessica Parker. She is the new face of Santa Anita Racetrack.
No, I'm sorry, I read that incorrectly.
Jordache. She is the new face of Jordache. Jordache is still a thing?
Wow.
Is that still a thing?
I guess so. Hmm. There's something called the Jordache Look Collection, which is sold exclusively at Del Mar Racetrack down in San Diego.
Nope.
She's selling blankets and tack. I'm not sure what that is, but...
Sure, that's true.
No, apparently there's some woman's clothing collection that she's going to be part of. You can find the collection exclusively at Walmart. That's right, you heard me.
Huh.
Walmart. Well, okay. If it's featured at Walmart, it's got to be high quality.
Right.
Have you seen the ladies who shop at Walmart?
Sure.
It's like Bergdorf Goodman, only with less teeth. I kid.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Well, look. If the horseshoe fits,
right?
Right.
Apparently, she is a her relationship with Matthew Broderick is in doubt these days. She is now seeing American Pharoah, they say. She's got a new boyfriend.
I admire
her. I think it's just downright disgusting, the poor abuse you guys heap on Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm sorry.
Saying she's a horse face, saying she's secretariat, making fun of her,
and
that.
I'm sorry.
Just being mean for the sake of being mean.
I'm sorry.
Now, if you don't mind, I have to go have lunch with Kabori Sidibe.
Oh, come on.
That
turned.
That is not okay.
Not okay. Not okay.
Speaking of fashion lines, Melissa McCarthy is designing a new fashion line.
And that ain't right.
Melissa McCarthy 77, it's called. She wanted to be a clothing designer since she was in grade school, she says. And she insists on wearing every single item in her collection. So, you can get Melissa McCarthy's clothes and you get Sarah Jessica Parker's clothes. Or you can buy other clothes, I'm guessing. You don't have to. Raven Simone has been given a new gig. She's going to be over at ABC on The View. She's going to be the one of the new co-hosts of The View.
That only affects Bean.
I don't even watch The View anymore, you guys.
Wow, they lost Bean.
Not since Sherry Shepherd left.
All my favorite people left.
How did you have any favorites to begin with?
Bean had favorite people on The View.
Who was a favorite? Who was a favorite on The View?
I don't know. Who have they lost lately?
Jenny McCarthy, Sherry Shepherd, Rosie O'Donnell.
I didn't like any of them.
Joy Behar?
I think I might have liked the OG cast. I think
Meredith
back when
Vieira?
I loved when Meredith was on.
Sure.
But back when Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on, and back when
Joy.
Barbara Walters was on, when Joy was on. Yeah. That was my View cast. They've lost me now.
No, they must be crushed.
I didn't hate Sherry Shepherd either, but this new batch, I got no time for.
What about Debbie Matenopoulos?
Ooh. No, didn't care for her either.
No?
Talk about OG.
What about Lisa Ling?
I liked Lisa.
Okay, good.
Allie, I beseech you, stop listing names of View hosts. I beseech you. Danny Trejo is an intimidating guy in the movies, but apparently he is just the nicest guy on the planet.
He's a Mexican, not a Mexicant. It's one of his big lines. It's the best. He rules so hard.
Okay. He was driving his Cadillac Eldorado when he crashed into a woman who was making an illegal left turn in Chatsworth last Tuesday. It was her fault, although he did strike her. No one was injured. He got out of the car and cut her head off.
Is that in the story?
It is. Says machete.
No.
It says something about a machete.
Machete.
Okay. He shot her to death.
No, that's not part of it either.
No, apparently he made friends at the scene of the accident, posed for selfies with paramedics and police when they showed up. He's 71 years old, by the way. Did you know
he's
that?
He's awesome. We've had him in a couple times, and he's always just go, I want to be that guy.
He's a sweetheart.
Did he ever wear a shirt?
Yes,
he rarely wears a shirt, and the dude is jacked.
He wears a shirt constantly.
I don't
Allie.
Know. I have never
in the
seen him in a shirt.
Films you've seen him, and he doesn't wear a shirt, but he doesn't go around not wearing shirts.
I have seen him in Venice not wearing a shirt.
Well, he is at the beach.
He was shopping at
Venice is a
store.
He was shopping at a store
called the Ave. There, I said it. See, you didn't think I had a store that he could be shopping at.
Doesn't
shirtless.
Make the story better.
He had no shirt on, and he's jacked. For a 70-year-old man,
he's buff
good
for 71.
Lord.
It's crazy.
Machete. Machete. He's machete. This is machete.
Machete.
Machete. Says machete. He knows the score. He gets the women.
Yeah.
And he kills the bad guys.
Yep. He killed that lady at the crash?
He didn't.
This is machete.
Machete. Real quick email before I get a chance to go on to the celebrity birthdays. Remember we were talking about the crazy burrito pepper spray lady?
Yes.
The Del Taco in Ontario.
She went into a Del Taco, dressed in scrubs, and went nuts with the pepper spray, spraying customers and management alike because she didn't like her burrito.
They're still looking for her.
Well, we got some info here from a listener who has information.
Fantastic.
Bobby Bachner is his name. Wrote this at Ralph, my sister works at a local hospital with the crazy burrito pepper spray lady. And it's not the first time she's gone nuts like that. One time, my sister was hanging out with her at a happy hour after work, and this woman, whose name I probably shouldn't mention for fear of retribution, joined us for a while after we'd been drinking there. When she arrived, she went to the bartender and asked for a Mexican beer with a lime. The bartender returned with a beer and a lemon, apologizing for being out of limes. Her face turned red. Steam practically shot out of her ears. She reached into her pocketbook and pulled out her pepper spray, shooting it right in the bartender's face, screaming, "I wanted lime with my Tecate."
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I wanted lime with my Tecate. I wanted lime with my Tecate. I wanted lime with my Tecate.
Woo!
Woo!
That felt good.
It's been a while.
That felt good, Bobby Bochner.
Outstanding.
Well done, sir.
It's
right?
been a while.
We all
it's
feel
been
good,
a
right?
It's been a while. That was all right.
Good. Feels good once in a while. Saturday night, 9 p.m., you, me, Kevin Smith, we're going to par-tay.
No.
You know what comes before part B? Par-tay.
No.
P-A-R-T-Y. Yep. Because we can. Par T A.
It's A.
Oh, okay.
More than E.
It's at the Improv in Irvine, California.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Irvine Improv. You're
working with me too long.
It is Saturday night, 9 p.m. Love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com, click on Irvine, and there it is. Just waiting for you.
No chance.
Hollywood Babylon. Love to see you.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Wilder, 82 years old today. One of the greats. Just so funny. Did you ever see The Producers, the original film, The Producers?
I don't think
With Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel. A comedy tour de force. 82 years old today. Hugh Laurie currently can be seen in Veep. Great on that show. It was great in House. It was great back in the UK when he used to work with Stephen Fry. They had a funny comedy team together. He's 56 years old. Peter Dinklage is 46. Joshua Jackson. He's 37. Look, at least he tried. At least he did it.
He was all in.
The rest of you are useless. And actor Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 29th birthday today.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around.
Yes.
He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face.
His face.
My God, there's blood everywhere.
Ah!
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows.
Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
He is. He's an actual cannibal. Killing for sport. He's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have David Wayne from Wet Hot American Summer and Children's Hospital. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We're going to talk about people who talk about their birthday too much, their birthday week. Some of our friends have birthday months.
There are some
That's
people
cool.
for whom their birthday right. is the
that
is
right.
the only day of the year that matters.
Is there a reason we're talking about this tomorrow?
No,
just randomly. Just came up.
Just came up in the schedule, did it?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys.
Just sort of came up.
Nuts.
So that's tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show.